Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Hello, I am your host, Norma Adams-Wade, and today is going to be a very informative and full of worthwhile information. I will get very soon to introducing our guest, but first, let me tell you that you're watching I Was Just Thinking, and let me explain my math. I wear a mask because I am determined to honor the protocol that national health officials have set forth. And we honor that because my mask protects you from any infection I might provide. And your mask does the same for me. It protects me from any that you might provide. I am in a building with other people, but because I'm in a room by myself, I am going to go ahead and remove my mask for the show. And then I go back out into the public. I will put it back on. Let me tell you about our guest before I let her even say anything. Our guest today is Dr. J. Esther Davis. Now, she is the host and producer and owner at Community Affairs News Network. She's an alumni of Texas Southern University, and she has been had a diverse background. She has been a model and commentator at Center, a designer and consultant. She has published for E-Style. She has published E-Style catalog, Ebony Magazine. She is host producer for Community Affairs Access to Cable to Network, also Comcast Cable Studios. She has been assignment editor for studios of NBC, Fort Worth. She has written various outlets. The list goes on, and they have included Time Warner, Fox Communication Studio, Pat Summerall Production, Discovery Channel, even locally, Dallas Post Tribune, our own Texas Metro News, Light News, and the list goes on and on. She also produced On the Red Carpet with Mary Allen, a widow, a mother, and a grandmother. She earned a doctorate in religious studies in 2017 of Grace International Seminaries. Just a lot of really interesting information. And let me just also point out that she studied studying a concert pianist at Texas Southern University, and she studied piano performance, music composition, journalism, modeling, edited at Texas Southern University. In high school, she went to Jack Yates High School. She originates from Conroe, Texas. She currently lives in Dallas. Good morning, Dr. J. Esther Davis. How are you?
Hello. Good morning, Mama Adams
Wade. And let's see.
Good to be here with you.
Okay. I'm going to see it sound a little bit if Jessica can hear me. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine.
Okay. I wish that yours was just a little stronger, and
okay.
If maybe we can get that done, we might
Jessica,
could.
Jessica is here.
Okay, if you can maybe if we could just, but if not, I can hear you. I would just.
Okay, I can always talk louder. That's not
well,
problem.
Let's leave it right there. Let's leave it right
okay.
there.
Okay.
Okay, let's just get right into our conversation. What I want to tell our audience after giving you background, I want to tell them that today you are here to talk about a compelling issue that really impacts the entire African-American community and the project called Missing Black Girls. Let's just begin right there. What are we talking about when we talk about this subject called and this project and this effort and this outreach and this movement called Missing Black Girls? What is that about?
It's just, oh.
Where to begin?
I know. It's one of my passionate subjects. I want to again say thank you for having me on your show, for being a part of the all those things that you do. But Missing Black Girls, a deliberate awareness
right.
to all people.
Uh-huh.
I cannot even envision 100,000 black girls being missed in 1 year.
Okay, then let me just jump in right there, and I have a lot of jumping in. I hear you say that there are about 100,000 missing black girls each year. Wow.
And in 2020 alone, we had 100,000. And when you check all of the sites, Norma, most of the sites will say, especially the FBI site, we have a lot of sites about missing girls.
Okay.
They will make a point to say that African-American girls, maybe a miscount. They don't think all the girls were put in.
Uh-huh.
And it's extremely painful and disturbing to know that African Americans allow that to happen. So we started this movement, exactly what it is. It's
uh-huh.
a movement.
Uh-huh.
But it's deliberately pointed and directed at African American race, culture. We're not leaving out any of the other girls.
Okay.
But we have to concentrate on, and I think it's our responsibility to concentrate on our girls.
Okay. Wow, and I think I heard you say that the figure of 100,000 is only the number that's reported, that there could possibly
only
be.
That's only the number that is reported. And I saw someplace in the New York paper, and one day in New York City, 50 black girls were missing.
Wow.
Reported. 50 black, that's one city.
One day. That's okay. So then, with considering that, how did this become such a problem in the African American community? Let me just stop right there. How did this become such a problem in the African American community?
We're not paying attention to our race, our children, our girls. Now we know where our boys are because most of the time our boys are playing football, kicking the ball. There are places where boys will congregate.
Okay.
But I don't think we have been paying attention to our girls.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Okay.
I've had lots of reports, been in the media now for 35 years,
mm-hmm.
and had lots of reports where girls were missing. And in the case of Tanya Stafford, we're all familiar with her story,
mm-hmm.
nobody looked.
Okay.
And that's just another hole in the coffin for not taking care of a girl.
Wow.
And so we have to be more attentive We have to be more caring, and absolutely we got to find a solution to this.
Just go ahead and give our audience just a summation of the Tanya Stafford situation. Just basic, what happened in that case? What was that about?
Just a couple of sentences. A mother who was a drug addict sold her to a man when she was 13 years old. And he took her and abused her. She had children every year or a miscarriage every year. She was 13 years old now. And the idea about the story is that it was right at her in a court. It was right at our back door.
Oh, my gosh.
Nobody looked for her. The first story I did on her was part of what she was telling me.
This was approximately what year? Roughly the family.
Oh, that was approximately 20. I was looking at 2012.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't look for her. She was a straight A student at school.
Wow.
She should have been missed at school. Mm-hmm. This man took her to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. But she couldn't talk to anybody. The doctors were only questioning her about why you have all of these babies. There was not a fact, but that's three facts.
Yes.
Especially in the school system.
Right.
You have a student, and all of a sudden that student is missing.
Three facts. Nobody questioned that school. Nobody questioned at the church. And when you went to the doctor, nobody put up the question mark. Those three flags were ignored.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's so uncomfortable for a woman to go to the doctor and the man answer all of the questions. That's number one.
Mm.
That should have been a flag because he could not talk to the doctors. To the nurses, he was in total, absolute control of this young woman.
Okay, now, you mentioned earlier in your comments that it's not a down to what's going on in other ethnic communities, but in our community, how did we get to this? So, and I personally know that, and most people know that each ethnic group has its issues. I think Native American women have their issues. Latino people have their issues. Do we know if those communities are suffering parts of this problem, or like you say, more than 100,000 of us in 2020? That I just have to think that we're at the top of the food chain on that.
I think we're at the top of the food chain. But here's what I think about.
Okay.
Depending on how far you want to go back.
Yeah.
30 years ago, we were all in a community.
Yes, yes.
And we knew who our children were.
Yeah.
Primarily because we were in our own community and we were in church.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, I was youth director for 20 years.
Right.
So, any of my children that came up, let's say not there.
Right.
And we knew if they moved, did the grandmother take over, we knew what happened.
Right.
All right. But and it doesn't matter if there was a father in the house, because I remember we had a family across the street that had 10 children. Well,
yeah.
We all knew where all 10 of the children were.
Yeah.
But I got away from that stirring, that part of our culture that was so very, very important.
Right. And, you know, there have been many discussions about, well, the benefits of integration, but then the losses that we experience as a result of integration. And I, what comes to my mind is the Oklahoma incident, Black Wall Street, where that was a concentrated, vibrant, economically successful community. But like you said, we were concentrated, and we knew where to go for being a lawyer. We knew where to go for being a doctor. We knew our schools. We knew our churches. But integration scattered us and dispersed us. And we kind of lost track of keeping an eye on each other.
Absolutely. We lost track of our caring, and we lost a lot of community. And people say that, and when they say it, normally it's like, oh, you're making yourself cavalier. But it is so very important.
Yeah, right, absolutely. Now, what got you interested? And I suspect that, you know, this probably has been happening for a while. My personal belief is that it has escalated extremely, but that's just my personal opinion. But what got you interested in this issue, and why did you sit up one day and say, you know what? I'm going to do something about this? Because, you know, the average person, we know a lot of things going on, but I don't think the average person actually gets up and takes action. Why did you decide to take some action?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of action behind in my career. I've done a lot of things that people thought were unauthorized. But the marvelous thing about that is that we always had somebody step up and say, you know, you're absolutely right. We need to change this.
Yeah.
We need to do something about it. And you know, the first person that I can remember talking to after I decided to do something, first thing we did a town hall report.
Okay.
The judges, the legislators, and other people that were missing, like Tanya. We had Akeisha Langford, who has been running the program. And what makes me so excited when I think about it, we have a lot of people that would take girls in to their home.
Okay.
Just that we went together. We didn't know what the other person was doing.
Yeah.
We had a truck driver came to the first town hall report.
Mm-hmm.
And we take the entire session, and I took the tape and distributed them.
Okay.
But her job, she deliberately took a truck driving job just so she could be in front of these girls and have a chance to talk to them.
Wow.
So we've had people out there that were working on this all along, but we pulled them all together. And it's very important, I mentioned, we're not excluding the girls.
Okay.
At the first town hall report, we had four organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is called the numeral four, the one.
Okay, four, the one.
They go into a certain, they pick out a zip code, and then the zip code, they actually walk the street. Latino group, there were two Latino groups at our session.
Okay.
We had, believe it or not, WFAA Channel 8. I cannot give them enough credit for this project because they actually came. They want to see what they can do to help.
Okay.
But you never know what you can do until you attempt to do it.
What's that old saying? The journey of 1,000 miles begins one step. Yeah.
And you get into this after the town hall report. Now I've got all these calls coming in.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, I have to remind, remind all of us of the end of Pemberton starting the curfew 30 years ago.
Yes. I remember.
They told us to do the curfew, and she pulled all of the youth practice together, people that work with children, and our end result of that entire dynamic, the children at the time, it was just children that needed to be in the house.
Right.
One of the stations, we all remember the station that you log on, and you turn on your news at 10 o'clock, and it says, it's 10 o'clock, do you know where your children are?
Right.
Well, the curfew.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We are again talking about missing children, but we cannot have missing kids.
Okay, I need to jump in and ask the initial town hall report. That was roughly when? Roughly when was that?
That was November 8th at a club. It was at Club Bo downtown Dallas.
Okay.
We had owners that came in and said, yes, I want to help. What can we do to help?
Okay.
So we had a town hall report.
Okay.
It was simply a report from the judges, the police, the survivor, the conversation.
Okay. Let's just take a break and remind our audience that we are talking with Dr. J. Esther Davis, and she is, I'm going to say, she is the drawing central energy behind this local part of this movement called Missing Black Girls. And like I say, she has kind of moved to the forefront here in our local area to keep our attention on this issue that many, like what she said, 100,000 black girls only was the number that was reported. We don't, could be way over that. 100,000 black girls went missing in 2020. And when she began to hear about these issues, she stood up and took action. So that's why we're talking with her today, the issue of missing black girls. And this is Dr. J. Esther Davis. Let me say that you have done, I saw an article that you did, and it was called Young, Gifted, Black, and Missing. And it's in your column called My Day. You do a column in the Black Press called My Day. And in this column, you pretty much summarize this issue. What really kind of stood out to me in your column, and you can talk a little bit more about it, you mentioned that there are some, I don't remember if it was one or two, but there are some local missing children. What is, summarize that for us.
There are several nonprofits that will try to keep up with our missing girls.
Okay.
Actually, this past week, now we're beginning to see signs in Wells. Chevron Station down on, I went to visit this guy.
Okay.
Three signs in his window.
Wow.
One in Soto last week, I went in, somebody told me there was a sign in the window of Chili's. Went there and talked to the general manager. I said, why did you decide to put the sign up for
right.
the family? I said, number one, they were customers. People came here all of the time. And there was a missing girl that was had some problems.
Okay.
So now we're finding, no, but this has gotten so, let's say, luminous that now almost every day we're getting a report on a missing. Here's a big problem. Here's what we're really going to work toward. I need everybody help listening to us today.
Mm-hmm.
If your 17-year-old daughter comes mm-hmm. up missing,
yeah.
the police cannot act on that for 72 hours in the state of Texas.
Okay.
Okay, we have the Amber Alert mm-hmm. and we have the senior alert. So if I come up missing, and any senior comes missing,
okay.
it's going to report it and it's going to be broadcast under the senior alert.
Okay.
So the bottom line focus is to get the state of Texas to introduce a Texas Missing Girls Act.
Okay. Let me jump in on that because it takes me to a question that is private in my mind. You can talk a little bit about it, about what's needed. Is it lawmaking that we need? More involvement from politicians and elected officials? Are we making any progress in that area? Tell us about that.
What I'd like to see us do is watch and know the people in our neighborhood.
Okay.
When I was serving on one of the committees, senior affairs. I served on senior affairs as a chair for 8 years. At that time, 40% of grandmothers were raising grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Number three would be to put, the schools have done a tremendous job.
Okay.
Go overboard. Police go overboard.
Okay.
But our lives are part of partnership.
Okay.
You cannot ask somebody else to do all of the work. It doesn't work that way.
Okay.
And I'll give you a good example. The young white lady, the young blonde was missing.
Oh, Gabby Petito. Gabby Petito, yes.
I right. have people that have told me that story 1,000 times. Well, they kept advertising this young woman, young blonde that came up missing.
Right.
My answer to that is, yes, they did, but she had a support system.
Okay.
Let's say the family knew some of the support system and the family did not know them, but they got together issue.
Okay.
And they just missed them. Okay. So if we have a black girl that's missing, we got to start talking about it. Something about it, which is what, you know, I initially did.
So wow. Let me jump in.
Okay.
That whole Gabby Petito issue, and just to summarize a little bit, as you said, this was a young Anglo woman. I think she was like in 19 or 20 or something like that. And she and her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, was 23, and went on this road trip in Wyoming, and then we started seeing on our TVs footage of them that being stopped by some law enforcement person, and she was kind of crying, and then said, oh, it's okay, we just kind of had a disagreement, and then some days later, the news just kind of kept putting this issue out, and then it was family home somewhere in Florida or Wyoming, and she wasn't with him. And oh my God! And media just, as you said, media just jumped all over the issue. And every time we turned on media, there was this news report about Gabby Petito. She ended up being found killed, and then the young man was missing, and then he ultimately found that he had apparently committed suicide. But the difference, as you just said, is that, you know, when we say, I said it, if he had been black, we wouldn't have heard about this. But you said she had a support system, which we African Americans don't provide in our community. That's the difference.
That's the difference. The difference is when she came up missing and the time that got on it, you're leaving out a whole community.
Wow.
Because I can envision whoever started the ball turning, somebody got on the phone and called them every day, every hour, at night, and give me a producer, give me a news report. I need to report it. They pounced on it.
Okay.
But we don't do that. And I don't
Absolutely.
Care who knows. I've had a lot of criticism about
okay.
it. Why are you pointing out black girls?
Mm-hmm.
Because we allow the media not to act. You have to give the media something to do.
Okay.
I mean, if they have a story, the story comes from ordinary people.
Right. Let me just check here. I have to periodically check to see if we got any callers coming in. Let me just tell our audience, if you want to call in with the comment, 646-200-0459. That's our call-in number, and hit 1 when you dial the number, and we'll be in shortly. But call-in number, 646-200-0459, and then hit 1, and we'll bring you in, because so much comment on this. But you were saying that the difference was Petito had a support system. They inundated media, and we don't do it.
Yes, exactly right. Mm-hmm. And that is, and we think it's something wrong with us doing it. But you don't get anything done by talking to me about it or talking to you or one or two people. You call all of the major networks, you make them back, or you send them a text. I have to tell you a few things that we put together some years ago. They closed the school.
Okay.
And the parents called me
okay.
about the school. And what we ended up doing was sending 500 faxes a day.
Wow.
500 faxes a day to the senator's office. Have fans come in. We put everybody on a schedule. You come in to work from 3 to 5. Yes, ma'am. Can you come in to work from 7 to 9? And finally, the senator's office says, will you please stop sending us these faxes? Can you come to the meeting next week? Yes, I can.
Wow. Now, that's the statement right there. That thing, your actions where your mouth is. That's exactly. I love that. I love that. That is, you cannot argue with that. You can, or and his the senator's reaction shows how effective that technique was. Absolutely. I just wanted to back up a 1 month back to your column that you wrote in your column called My Day, and one of the retail places was Quick Trip service station, and that they have been a safe place site since 1991 for at-risk youth and runaways. And so we drive by these places every day.
Every day and don't know who they are. It was, now, that was a mindful because I started walking. Everywhere I go, I'll take a day, and everybody else stops. Cleaners, yes, I go in to a manager or somebody. And he told me, he says, oh, we have been a safe place since 1990.
Wow.
Get out of here. I did that.
Wow. Wow.
And they have seen how many people they had talked to, saved. I talked to the general manager in another city. What we can do to help you, but we are a safe place. And it, I went back to the Chevron station to talk to the manager there.
Okay.
And I said, well, why don't the rest of the service stations do this? He said, you know what his answer was?
What?
Nobody asked.
Wow.
So, and I hear something. You got a missed call.
Uh-huh.
I love animals. I'm not going to qualify. But the point is, if you have a missing dog, how many signs do you see in that neighborhood?
Every corner.
Humans are important.
Yeah.
But you know, the problem is we don't know our neighbors. We don't want to be integrated. And the only time we're really integrated is when there is a hurricane and everybody jumps in. But we live every day with a crisis. We're living with this. This is a crisis as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. That is so profound about the missing animal, the missing dog, the missing cat. We're going to post signs, you know, everywhere we can think of. But if your adolescent comes up, of course you panic. Yes, you panic. But what effective action do you take for this missing person as opposed to you having your missing pet, you know, Chi or whoever, you know, you're going to do everything for them. Okay, now I wanted to go back to progress from in the legislature. Now I think I heard some mention that Carl Sherman, elected official Carl Sherman, had expressed some kind of interest or had taken some kind of action, that he was one example, I believe. Am I correct on that or what?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Actually, Carl Sherman came to the first town hall.
He came to the first town.
And he spoke, and his staff members came. We have taped a YouTube program, and he's introducing legislation.
Okay, wonderful. That's pivotal. He is actually introducing some legislature on issue, and he actually came to that first town hall report. And I gotta go back to the point that you took action. I mean, I'm not gonna leave that out of the scenario. You heard about
Thank
it.
You.
We get things all the time on TV, and we'll cluck. Oh, that's a shame. But we don't do things about it. You helped pull together this town hall report. Got these people to come. From different aspects of the issue, even people who had experienced some trauma from this and had these legislators and elected officials, but had not taken that action. See, I'm going to say from you taking action, this elected official came, then he introduced legislature, and we could get a law out of this. We could get a law out of this.
That's not to be overlooked. I hope you will have me back, because we are going to get a law out of the state representative who is also joining Paul Sherman.
His name
is Reggie Smith.
Okay.
Reggie Smith, and I don't know him. I do know he's a Republican.
Okay.
He is going to join Paul Sherman with the bill.
Okay.
Now, he is up in Sherman, Van Alstyne. We have the Global Women Network.
Okay.
This is a group that I am familiar with. I call all of the networks that I that I work with.
Okay.
The Women's Federation for World Peace, they handle these kind of things all over the world.
Okay.
Laura Hahnbeck came to, she's a Texas chapter president for the Global Women's Peace Network,
I think.
And what they do, as I did working in the place that had the tsunami that destroyed a lot of people destitute.
Okay.
So, you know, this is, I was totally involved about 4 years ago when the 200 girls were abducted from the African school. In the
Oh, tell us about that. Tell us about that.
Oh, my gosh. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
They were abducted. Half of them were returned. Mm-hmm. And half of them were not returned.
Yes.
That's been about 4 years ago.
Okay.
Well, about 3 years ago, an entourage of the mothers came to Texas.
Okay.
And I did one of the interviews with mother.
Okay.
Leah. The young lady was still missing.
Wow.
And then returned to the village. And she went into her religion. The mother was giving me the hope and the death. The reason they came to America seeking assistance.
Okay. Okay.
200 girls. I've been involved with girls probably the last 30 years at a modeling school.
Okay.
I was modeling, and then my girls in South Dallas coming up pregnant.
Yeah.
You understand? Now you wrote a story about that program.
Uh-huh.
That's been a long time ago.
Right.
But in any event, we were able to curtail the pregnancy.
Yes.
Simply by building self-esteem,
mm-hmm,
and making them shopping and teaching them how to get in out of car. Something very simple.
Yeah.
Very, very simple.
So. Let me ask this. And again, let me remind the audience, we're talking with Dr. J. Esther Davis, and she is very, very active in media, cable TV, and she has a diverse background. She worked in law firms and local media, local and national media. And so she has taken on this issue called Missing Black Girls. And she's gotten some local efforts going. She's got some elected officials involved, and it looks like we likely will move forward. The system for alerting communities and media and police and whoever about individuals when they are. Now let me take that juncture right there. Give us, if you will, what is a step-by-step reaction that you might suggest if a family wakes up one morning or the child doesn't get home from school, or the parent goes to work and leave the child at home and they come back and they're gone? Of course, you're going to panic and you're going to not know what to do, but what is a step-by-step procedure anyone should take? One person comes up missing, some person comes up missing.
Sounding the alarm.
Okay.
You make a phone call. Let's say you call the neighbor's door.
Mm-hmm.
They can analyze, I think. It's going to be the neighborhood grocery stores, the neighborhood cleaners, the neighborhoods that have small business.
Okay.
Take a picture, post the picture.
Okay.
72 hours. It is a ridiculous time to wait to report.
It
is not all the law needs to be changed.
Okay.
And then we all tell them, but you really don't need politicians to drive this effort.
Okay.
I have to mention, fathers start coming forward.
Oh.
I asked one man. I said, "What would you do?" A camera guy that I was. I said, "What would you do if your daughter didn't call you?" Call her and she didn't call you back.
Uh-huh.
I think like the three fathers. And one of them said, "I'm going to keep calling her until she returns my phone."
Okay.
So I went to the next father and I said, "What would you do if your daughter Okay, we get to the third. This is the one that blew me away. Somebody sent me to a guy named Victor Plum. I have to say hello to Mr. Plum.
Okay.
Mr. Plum, whatever he could to help with this project.
Okay.
And so I thought, I got to go visit this guy. So I went down to the Garland District to visit him. Mr. Plum told me he has 7 daughters. And I take this very seriously. He said, you really scared me. I said, I didn't mean to scare you. I just asked a question. And he said, I'm going to help because I have 7 daughters and I don't want anything to happen to any of them. So we've had fathers to show up. Then I got a real blessing from, I was talking to, what's his name, the fighter, Charles Hatlett. Hello, Mr. Hatlett, one of the ranches.
Okay.
Petrus Ranch. He's riding a horse. All of a sudden, we strike up a conversation. And he said, well, I can help you with that. He said, because women don't know how to defend themselves. I said, you're absolutely right. So then our second town hall report was actually a boxing match.
Okay. Okay.
I think I sent you a picture of it. Now, I was putting him in the boxing business because I'm intrigued with this whole thing.
Right.
And then we found that women boxers are now making an inroad into the industry.
Okay.
I met some boxers. I met amateur boxers. I started going to boxing clubs because I thought he was right.
Uh-huh.
If you are abducted, have this conversation with your daughter at 10 years old.
Okay.
You have the conversations about her starting her menstrual cycle. You have conversations about growing up as a young woman. So let's have a conversation about what to do if a man grabs you from behind.
Okay.
I love it. His answer to all of that was, his name is Charles Hadley. He's a welterweight champion. He's from Dallas. He says, Dr. Jess, I can give you 3 points on how you can disable a man. Really? It doesn't matter about the size. So that's how we get into this boxing.
That's fabulous. Okay, now roughly when was that? That was during our last
December,
a second time.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. The second town hall gathering was there,
right.
And you talked about how a female can defend herself if someone grabs you from behind. He gets pointers on how you can disable them, no matter your size, the female, no matter. That's wonderful. You need to do that one again. You got to do that one.
We're going to continue the boxing thing because that self-defense is important. I have people who used to work for City of Dallas, I had a karate card one time. I said, you did? He said, yes, I'm a black belt. I mean, the fathers, I'm saying, are the ones who started saying, well, let's do this and let's do that.
This thing can go somewhere. This can go somewhere. I mean, it's just, I'm just taken by the whole horizon of what could lead to, you know, absolutely. Just the self-defense point. Although, just go back and think about those 100-plus black girls missing in 2020. If even half of them had known self-defense, had known how to disable, because they had to have either suddenly grabbed, had to have been something like that. And if they had been able to defend themselves after having attended something like your town hall report, this training session on self-defense, my gosh, that number could have been so greatly reduced.
One of the Homeland Security ladies that I talked to over the phone, she concurred with what I had been telling in the boxing. And one of the things she says, if you are abducted, you do 2 things, you kick and you scratch.
Okay.
Even if you get killed, and even if they find your body and da-da-da-da-da, your fingernails, if you scratch them, will give them the DNA.
Wow. Now, wow. Give me a minute to absorb that. See, who would think that? Who would think that? Oh, my gosh. That's
a great, great point. What she was saying is that at least put up a fight.
Yes.
Because most of these guys are cowards.
Mm.
They're big, dumb cowards.
Mm.
That was quote. And so if you put up a fight, they don't know if you are a police officer, an undercover police officer. And by the way, that will be our next, the genesis of our emphasis for our next town hall session will be women that I have talked to from Homeland Security and the FBI. You go on the FBI, so there is a community outreach button. And you can report. I mean, we have all the resources. We have, this country is wonderful. Our city is wonderful. I love the state of Texas. I'm a native Texan. We have all of the tools. We just don't use them.
Okay. You need to take you a quick break, get you some water.
I'm going to get my water back here.
Okay, go ahead and get you, because I don't want y'all, everybody, we're talking with Dr. J.S. Davis, and she's a media cable communication host and producer, and she's such a diverse background, working in law offices, in cable TV. She has done modeling and designing, and we'll even talk about some other aspects of your life in a little bit. But she's a mother, a grandmother, and she had earned a doctorate in religious studies in 2017 from Grace International Seminary. She has a strong faith background, and she also trained Texas Southern University and as a concertina. Now throw that into the mix. music composition, and she studied journalism and etiquette and all of that at Southern University. So she's here today to bring us up to date on the issue that I say she's a local candidate, and it's the issue of missing black girls. And I ask you, do you have, we're about 10 minutes up the hour. Do you have time to go just a little bit down that? You need to leave noon, but.
No, I'm good.
Okay, we might go over just a little bit.
On time, I'm good. Thank you so much.
Okay. So let me jump back in on something you mentioned earlier. And you said we're pretty good with our black boys. Now, even though we know that there is a strong national problem with police, having problems with police, the Tamir Rice incident, death is one example where this young teenager was playing with a gun in a park and he was killed by police. We've got the recent Dante Wright issue. I think it's on trial right now, where the police woman said she thought she was tasing him, but actually she shot him. We know about the incident of the 18-year-old named Fred Cox, who was shot by a police officer while he was attending a funeral. And across the nation, the examples just are overwhelming about young African-American males with conflict with police officers. But take us back to, they're not missing. What's the difference?
The difference is boys, I have two sons. We raised two other boys. So at one time I had four boys in my house, and I have five grandsons and two girls. Boys come here with, black males come here with a DNA directed at directing and taking over. I can have a four-year-old that will get in a car with me, and if I start the car up, he'll say, "Oh, put your seatbelt on." Give me instructions. And we put our boys in all kinds of classes. We got to, it's by your boy on the Nintendo.
Okay.
I think it's just, I don't care about controversy, but it's absolutely ridiculous to give a boy one gift that can propel him forward.
Okay.
And give a girl that's discriminating against agendas. But today, what do we have? We have males that are complaining, they're satanic. We have females that are in basketball, that NFL. The world has really changed. So
yeah.
If we give our boy a laptop computer.
Uh-huh.
Or a game, buy the new one.
Okay, very good.
You can put our girls in directions of self-sufficiency.
Mm-hmm.
What is the main one?
Yeah.
I just did a story on India.
Okay.
I wrote a story about hair. Why are we buying hair from another country when that country is so poor, number one, and the women are mistreated?
Wow.
I realize that you may not like that, but we have to take care of women because women give birth to children.
Yeah, yeah.
Women nurture children. We can't. So what are we going to do? Eradicate the treatment of women in India and America? We can't have 100,000 black girls because black girls have babies.
Yes.
I talk to Dr. Humley on a regular basis. She's a psychiatrist. And I know one problem with African-American girls, but that's a
self-esteem. That is a big issue. That's a big issue.
Norma, because they don't do anything. I played the piano, and my mother, I had a regiment that was very, very stiff. I thought it was terrible. I didn't like it. But my practice sessions were 4 hours on the piano.
Wow.
But you gotta keep a child busy, and busy is not social media, not phone. Busy is riding, jogging, long distance. There are a lot of children not participating in long distance running.
Okay.
We are asking right now, go into the website for FAA. A couple of months ago, FAA was asking 18-year-olds to 24-year-olds to play games.
Okay.
They're going to
hire
them as traffic controllers. Can you grasp that one?
No, I can't. 18 years old?
The FAA now has discovered that all of the games that our children have been playing for the last 20 years, pay $300 for the game, the kid is 10 years old.
Wow.
His concentration in life is on winning that game is now a skill that the FAA needs.
Yeah.
Now, they posted the job. They ran out. There were so many kids that applied, 18 to 25 or something. Don't tell me to the exact.
Right.
But within 2 weeks, parents had signed up their children. I went back into the website, and the website says, we are out of jobs right now. We will be posting again.
Whoa.
That's a point here.
Okay.
Even the thing of going to space. We got people going to space today. There's no doubt in my mind that in the next 10 years, people are going to move to Mars or there. Why not study it?
Yeah, right.
Put it in, make you push your child. We got to have a vision the next 10 years. Because the next 10 years in this country, is probably going to be more progressive than the last 50 years.
Okay.
Think about it.
Okay.
So if your job is not technology, is technically, they're not going to get a job. That's the bottom.
Yeah. So true. So just that point again. If your child is not technology driven, they may not get a job.
They're not going to get a job.
Wow. No,
the day's hour, home economics and a lot of the things we still have in our schools today. But parents, I think God gives you the wisdom to raise a child, coach and push them in another direction.
Okay.
That's a parenting thing. And then partner with the schools, make a difference in schools, or move your child. There's nothing more important than the education of your child because you only have that opportunity
for about
5 years. 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, they're gone.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
Five years.
Wow. Okay, we're coming to the noon hour, but we're going to go over just a little bit. I have just a few points I want to summarize before we say goodbye, and a large thank you for your time coming to discuss this vital issue with us. Let me just ask, where do we go from here? What's the next step? Now, you mentioned that there is some legislation out there. You mentioned that there have already been these town hall report gatherings, and they sound to me like they were very worthwhile and forward moving. So what is the next step? What's the next plan? Where do we go from here?
From here, my next plan is to get two other states on the town.
Okay.
And the town hall report with people that have been abducted.
Okay.
And we are going to include, I would like to have a home. Tanya Stafford has a home, her girl.
Okay.
But she's out of room. So we were pushing, trying to get these two programs done before the holidays.
Okay.
Because she said, I'm going to be backed up during the holidays.
Okay.
The third thing we want people to do is, if you don't know how to use your phone, learn how to use your phone.
Okay. Okay.
We need a group that will talk to legislation about the Missing Girls Act.
Okay.
We need to come to our next event.
Okay.
I'm intrigued with the boxing session, the self-defense.
You had me at hello on that one. You had me at hello. Oh my gosh, that was so worthwhile.
In the middle of an election year, bring it up. You go to a meeting with all of these people that are running for office and bring it up. Your question is, email is, what are you going to do about missing my girl? We have to make it an issue.
Okay. I heard you say that we have to make it an issue. We can't just cluck when we hear the news report. We have to make it an issue.
An issue, yes. And you do that with communications, with phone calls, engaging other people, writing notes, some of the nonsense that we do with our phones today.
Right.
I think we're using it all wrong, but that's Mr. Davis' opinion. Use it to make a difference.
Okay.
I guarantee you, you and your voting group.
Send
a email to a politician every day.
Okay.
You're gonna get on to the police department. You're gonna get a reaction.
Wow.
It's the bottom line, Norma. The bottom line is that it's not up to the police. It's not up to the school system. It's up to us, we the people. We have a
profound. That's profound. Okay. I do want you at this point to tell the public how they can get in contact with you. And I believe we are going to put it in the chat. Here it is. There is an email address that you have. I think we're going to put it in the chat. There's a phone number if you want to give your phone number out publicly.
I am totally acceptable.
Okay.
My phone number is public. Put up 214-376-9000.
Okay, 1000. That's the phone number. 214-376-9000. And I believe that's going to go in the chat. And then your email.
Esther Davis 2000.
Okay. Let me write that one down. Is Esther Davis all together?
Yes. Esther Davis 2000
all together. Okay.
At Gmail.
Okay. Esther Ester Davis. Yes. Davis 2000. That's 2000 at gmail.com. That's Esther, ESTERDAVIS 2000 at gmail.com. Very good. That's the email. Okay, so, and then I think you're on Facebook and YouTube. You have some things on Twitter. What do you have on YouTube?
I have shows on YouTube. I remember I was on TV. I was on network television for 8 years.
Okay.
On network. No, with Table First, I was in Table Access for the $6.
Okay.
Tax picked us up in about 2006, 2007. Tax TV. That's been working for 8 years.
Okay.
And at the same time, I own my show, and I'm the producer. We had shows at that time on Time Warner, Comcast, Link, and I took a trip to Puerto Rico, and we got on some of the other stations.
Okay.
Another very important point for African Americans. We just need more African American producers, not hosts, not people on TV with a show. We need you to own your media.
Okay.
And I think today with cameras and podcasts and cell phones, that's the easy thing to do.
Very good.
Let me mention the other people that have been a part of the town hall.
Go ahead.
I'm reading my article from James Thomas. I'll give you a copy of this. This is James Thomas's magazine.
Okay.
But in the magazine, there is a...
What's the name of it?
The magazine is Southern Dallas.
Yeah, okay.
Southern Dallas.
Yeah, there it is.
Cover this month is, there it is.
Okay.
The cover this month is our good friend, Mr. Roland Perry.
Okay.
So some of the other people that started out helping us was Fourth Lawn Foundation, I didn't mention them. The Avenue, Dr. Molly Williams, who is the state convener for the National Council of Negro Women, and I was so happy to see her because she was entire chapters to be involved. We had Spectrum, DSW BAM, Jasmine Greer, who's an independent producer now, and the National Association of Black Journalists. I think that's Terry Allen. Channel 8 has been on this from the very beginning.
Okay.
And I'll tell you that they offered the first town hall to send out a camera. I don't like cameras that they come out and just get a soundbite and leave.
Yeah.
So I told Leslie that. She says, okay. But they sent a producer and an executive stage the entire time.
Now, that's different.
We just stopped doing soundbites. You know, 2 or 3 seconds is not enough.
Yeah.
But those are some of the people that were true at and had a teacher to bring her dance class from the Leadership Academy.
Okay.
We got approval, bought the dance group, and I just wanted to mention all the people that came the first time, and please stay tuned to my articles online, in the newspaper. I thank you, Garland Journal, Metro News, for sharing our stories.
Very good. About our guest, who is Esther Davis? Where did she come from? What created Esther, Dr. J. Esther Davis? Tell us a little bit about the young Esther. What were your aspirations? You talked about you played the piano and practiced piano for hours, but hometown, family, what were you interested in? Give us a little synopsis about the young, developing J. Esther Davis.
I am from a marvelous family down in Montgomery County. Mother and a dad, 4 children. We were raised with a lot to do, put it that way. I can ride horses. I can do anything with wheels on it. And we were given a lot of liberties, a lot of love. But I'm contacted. I studied music, dance, and voice. Mother didn't want her children to sound Southern. Actually, my dad was a logger, so I have a lot of people that I communicate with. Logging in the 50s and 60s was a big business for African Americans.
Is that right? I did not know.
I did not know. My dad was an independent logger, probably one of the first black men to have with the mill.
Wow.
So he took wood to the mill. We were not poor people.
Okay.
We went to school. I these amendments as a child.
Yeah.
I know. They are even Enda Van Cliver. My school, my new teacher entered the Enda Van Cliver in 1968.
Wow.
They weren't even about to entertain a black pianist in Fort Worth, Texas at that time.
Wow.
My love for children is probably my mother. She taught in the school for 34 years. My daddy was a mechanic on the business.
Wow. So that entrepreneurial interest came out of that owning business. Very, very interesting.
Yeah. My dad and my uncle, I wrote my receipt for my dad at 12 years old.
Yeah.
I hunting probably in a long time. But you know what's interesting about this, your question, thank you so much for it, but the girl in my family would talk the same thing that the boys talk.
See, now, okay. There are a couple of other people, and I noticed that distinction about someone who really took leadership roles as adults. I noticed that your teaching at a young age on the level of the boy and the family, they really seem to make a difference.
Right. Because you think you can do whatever the boys can do.
Okay.
And you, my family, especially my dad, supported that.
Mm-hmm.
So my job when I was 13 or 14 was to take a pickup truck, go up to Big Mom's house and check on her every day.
The pickup truck.
Yeah, we had vehicles then. Because my
is that the one that have a stick shift and all that kind of stuff?
It was a stick shift.
Oh my gosh. It all plays a part. And here you are today, the total package. That's my point. You are today the total package of all of those entities way back when, you know, and they are important. And the roles of, you mentioned somewhere earlier on that the roles are on in life, and that I think is a prime example. Now, just a little bit, and we'll let you go. You've done some sort of work with women at the United Nations, I believe.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Women's Federation for World Peace was in charge of some of my work I've done with women in South Africa. And that was mostly with the choir that you also reported on, how we trained young girls and boys at that time as productive citizens.
Okay.
So an article, I don't know where it came from, but I'm invited to the United Nations, the request of the National Women's Federation for World Peace.
Okay.
Now, I have traveled to Korea twice. I have been to Germany. I've done reporting NPI.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for them for 4 years. I've actually traveled for them. Religion and spirituality.
Okay.
It taught me something.
Okay.
Children that are born with religion in their lives contribute more to society, number one.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about it.
It doesn't matter what religion. Remember the Thai Foundation that started here in Dallas?
I do.
With Roy Meyer and some of the other.
I remember that.
Okay, I was part of the group because Roy Meyer and Alto McGowan, some of that group were involved in movement. Now, what woke Dallas up at that time was the fact that we were turned down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They wrote Dallas up as being
right.
So the leadership of that, they decided to correct that.
Okay.
So I traveled and really opened my eyes to what's happening in the rest of the world. We are such a blessed nation. Women, I think women, since we all have the same body parts,
mm-hmm.
we all give birth. We need to be concerned
mm-hmm.
about the 200 girls that were abducted in Nigeria. We need to be concerned about the Indians selling their hair to American women.
Okay.
And I know these are subjects we don't touch on. We don't talk
about
these.
Right.
And black girls. Look at this and black girls. No, missing all over the world. Women color.
I'm trying to let you go. But so are you feeling inside that you have made an impact, that you can see some progress at the end of the tunnel on what issue? Are you feeling upbeat about it?
I feel upbeat about it because I think one of my gifts is to motivate people to move.
Okay.
And if we clone ourselves, that was one of the things that was done with my modeling girls. For my modeling girls in key positions today.
Okay.
But anyway, we need to get to work. There's no time to sit down and look around and be gloom and gloom and complaining. Oh my gosh! But anyway, we can get up and do some things.
And you have okay. Any part of this discussion, any points that we overlooked? That we did not include.
No, you've been such a gracious host. You always have because you've always written these stories about us. And we need to write our stories. Write the stories. Tell the stories. We are, as has been written about us, we are progressive people, successful in our race.
Okay.
I got to mention this before I go.
Okay.
We have had and we have allowed the media to talk about our children.
Yeah.
We talk about how bad our children are, but only about 9 or 10%. Do the work yourself. Do the investigation yourself. Only about 9 or 10% of our children, African American children, are doing bad.
Mm.
I run into progressive black kids, adults, billionaires. Dennis Kimbrough came to town last year.
Okay.
His book, Black Billionaires.
Okay.
We can't talk about our success. Mainstream media is not going to talk about the success of black people. Let's know.
They're
not going to talk about that.
Okay.
So let's go to the black press. Go back to the black press. I'm sitting in Joe Smith's office right now with normal weight. Call them, get the paper, have it sent to your home.
Okay.
You can make a difference.
Very good. Well, Dr. Jay Esther Davis, we have certainly been honored by you talking with us today. And this is just one issue. This is just one issue. Missing black girls. Missing black girls. And your as our message to us, we can take action. We have to take action.
And don't be ashamed to say it. Why are we afraid to say black?
I don't know.
So the name of the program is Missing Black Girls, and that's whoever you are talking to. Now, again, we're not missing anybody. That's not the whole point. But you need to understand that if you don't do work, why do you expect somebody else to step up?
Okay.
I just don't get that.
No. I take that. I receive it. Thank you so much. Go forward and conquer and have a wonderful Christmas and holiday. And we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much, Norma.
All right. Okay. All right, everybody. That was Dr. J in so many areas, even from being trained as a concert pianist and spending some time as a model and a fashion designer. And she's worked in some legal offices and she's a strong community advocate and has various media programs where she is host and producer of digital programs and online activities. And she's done some work with the United Nations and the National Women's Issue. So she's just all over the place. It's certainly a role model for up-and-coming young people. She strongly advocates for young female issues, but all youth, all African-American youth, she has been a force. So we, again, we're just very grateful that she spent time with us today. Dr. J. Esther Davis. So we want to talk a little bit now about local issues that certainly we need to pay attention to. I want to start with this one. Just, you know what, I guess you've probably seen these signs at DART bus stops. The first sign the bus is not going to stop at this site, at this corner. Anyone? And I was driving, and I kind of glanced, and I thought, wait a minute, wait, what's going on? And so I looked into it a little bit more, analyzed South Dallas Coalition. It's a coalition, and it's called Revitalize South Dallas, but it's called the Revitalize South Dallas Coalition. And he puts out information about things going on in the city that do impact southern city of town. And so he tells us about a DART bus route overhaul. And there's also a visual a training session about it. But at any rate, beginning January 24, 2022, every DART bus route will change. Okay? Beginning January 24, 2022, every DART bus route will change. And the DART tells us that this change is designed to improve service and to get people to their destinations more quickly. Now, the community is encouraged to participate and take this information back to your neighbors and your families and what have you, your organizations, your clubs, and your churches and faith groups and what have you. Okay, and so to schedule a DART representative who will come and attend your community faith group meeting or whatever, your neighborhood association meeting, whatever, you can get details about this virtual session. And I'm going to give you a phone number and an email where you can get more information. Now, you can contact this person. Her name is Dawn, D-A-W-N, Dorman, D-O-R-M-A-N, Dawn Dorman. And you can contact her, and she will give you more information about having a DART representative to come out and talk to your group about what's the changes that are going to take place. And her number, 469-416-8603. Again, with DART, you're going to call Dawn, D-A-W-N, Dorman, D-O-R-M-A-N, her phone number, 469-416-8603. And you can email her at D. Dorman, that's her name, the initials D and then Dorman, D-D-O-R-M-A-N, D-D-O-R-M-A-N, at dart.org. DART, D-A-R-T dot O-R-G, ddorman@dart.org, ddorman@dart.org. Because, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't want anybody to go to your bus stop and then you find out, where's the bus? And you're standing there waiting and no bus. So all of that's going to change. And then beginning in January 24th, every DART bus route will change. So you need to know about it. You need to know about it. So find out about it. These are virtual meetings, and you can get someone to link with your organization. Okay. Now, also, the South Dallas Concert Choir, wonderful group, they had a Christmas concert just a few days ago. And, yeah, you might think you missed it. You missed it, but guess what? You can still get to hear it because there will be a virtual replay of it. And it was called the Christmas Hallelujah. So the South Dallas Concert Choir gave a performance called Christmas Hallelujah. And it was at Greater Bethlehem Church. It's already passed. But there will be a virtual replay. So the replay will be on Christmas Eve, December 24th. And it will be at 6 p.m. Now, the choir, the South Dallas Concert Choir, they've got a website. I'm going to give you the website. So you can tune into their website, the South Dallas Concert Choir's website, on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Christmas Eve, December 24th. 6 p.m. Christmas Eve, December 24th. Tune into the South Dallas Concert Choir's website, and you can get a replay, a virtual replay of their wonderful Christmas concert, which was called Christmas Hallelujah. Now, what better time to get this replay of their Christmas concert, which was called Christmas Hallelujah? What better time than Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. when you're getting ready for Santa? So here's the website. Of course, HTTPS, and then the symbols that go with that are, you know, but www.southdallasconcertchoir.org, www.southdallasconcertchoir.org, South, S-O-U-T-H, Dallas, D-A-L-L-A-S, Concert, C-O-N-C-E-R-T, Choir, C-H-O-I-R.org. SouthDallasConcertChoir.org, and you can get the replay of their Christmas concert. Now, here's this one. This one was very intriguing. We are told that the construction field is growing rapidly, and women are being encouraged to get on board. The construction field is growing rapidly, and they're inviting women to come in. So Dallas College is among the institutions that are training women to join the construction field. Now, this training is at Dallas College Center, Dallas College Center, and the address is 4315 South Lancaster Road, 75216. Okay, and so let me tell you again, it's Dallas College, RBCA, Southern Dallas Thrives. That's the force behind this training. Dallas College, RBCA, Southern Dallas Thrives. And they're training women at the Dallas College Center to enter the construction field. The address, 4315 South Lancaster Road, Dallas, 75216. Now, there are some requirements. You have to be age 18 or above. You need two forms of IDs. It's a four-week training. That's not bad. 4 weeks and you learn to enter the construction field if you're a woman. That's not bad. Four-week training. They do a little criminal background, and you can get more information about that. They do a little criminal background check. Now, the work can pay from $13 to $18 an hour, from $13 to $18 per hour, and also you uh, can get a bus pass and gas card. And then there's the OSHA certification. Now, at the end of the training session, you get a $200 cash prize. If you complete this 4-week training, which is not bad, that's a month. If you can complete 1 month's training, you get a $200 cash prize upon completion. So come on, women, jump in on that. The construction field needs more female involvement, and we can use the work, so do that. And then, of course, we are reminded that on another issue, that every Tuesday at the King Center on Martin Luther King Boulevard at noon, you can receive fresh boxes of produce while supplies last. It's every Tuesday at the Martin Luther King Center, and then it's every Saturday South YMCA on Romine, 2500 Romine. So that's two places. On Tuesday, you can get free boxes of fresh produce at the King Center. And then every Saturday, you can get them at Park South YMCA at 2500 Romine. Now, this is while supplies last. And it's open to everybody. There is no income restriction. Everybody can go and get this fresh produce. Now, we don't want the produce to go to waste. We don't want the fresh produce to go to waste. So we want you to go and get it. Now, I'm going to give you a phone number, City of Dallas phone number, that you can get more information, 214-670-8418. 214-670-8418. There's also a backup number, 214-290-2337. 214-290-2337. Now, I want to tell you also on another issue. I don't know if you had the fortune, the good fortune of being able to attend some of the previous healthy living expos at the African American Museum. And I know prior to COVID, they were pretty very successful event. And it's called the Realizing the Dream Healthy Living Expo. And the Don't Believe the Hype Foundation is the driving force behind it, and they have a number of co-sponsors that are helping. But the Don't Believe the Hype Foundation is a driving force behind it. And so this January, Monday, January 17 in 2022 at the African American Museum in South Dallas will be the fifth annual expo. So this has been going on several years. This upcoming one in January will be the fifth annual Realizing the Dream Healthy Living Expo. Now, what's it all about? Okay, a number of things will be features will be presented. The emphasis will be on financial literacy, learning how to do better with our money. Financial literacy, That's the main emphasis. But there are a number of other things that will be provided for the community. You can learn about natural beauty, about veterans' issues, about mental health, about restoring our communities. And, of course, we're going to learn about Dr. King's dream, which was that we just have a better life. So in order to have a better life, we got to be healthy. So that's one of the number one issues, how to be healthier. Now, not just physically healthy. We want to be mentally healthy. We want to be spiritually healthy, physically, of course. We want to be financially healthy. Yes, yes, yes. We want to be socially healthy and holistically healthy. And so this Healthy Living Expo will give us access to all of those. There will be vendors, speakers, programming geared toward building stronger families and communities. There will be community activists will be there, educators will be there, advisors will be there, and there will also be entertainment. So there's just a wealth of things that's going to be at this expo. Now, there will be college representatives there to tell us about our young people who are right at the doorway of entering college or are getting ready to reach that stage. You can have your middle schooler to get access to this information about college. That's not too soon to be thinking about college. There will be information there about insurance and how to do better with getting yourself insured. There will be financial planners. And you can even register to vote at the expo. And all kinds of educational booths will be there. So, you know, Dr. King, and this is one of the slogans and mottos and goals for the Healthy Living Expo. And as Dr. King used to ask, what are you doing for others? What are you doing for others? And certainly this expo is doing a lot for the rest of us. And so we want to get involved with it. We want to get involved. So you can get more information about it on Facebook. You can learn about it on Facebook, and it's called the Realizing the Dream Healthy Living Expo. Look for that on Facebook, and one of the prime sponsors is the Don't Believe the Hype Foundation. So, and would want to be a vendor or a sponsor, you can get access to the sponsorship form online. And sponsorships, there are all kind of increments of financial donations that sponsors can contribute to this effort. And so we want you to put that on your calendar. Monday, January 17, 2022 at the African American Museum. And that's where it's been during the last, 5 years. I think COVID, there was some sort of little change. But now in January, we'll be back again. Of course, now there will be the health protocol will be followed for the event in January. There will be practicing safe health with, the healthy protocol where you wear your mask and use your hand sanitizer, and those rules will be observed. So it's so much will be offered, and it certainly will be a benefit to the community that will answer Dr. King's question. So what are you doing for others? What are you doing for others? Now, this next project certainly comes under the category of what are you doing for others? Have you ever given blood? You ever donated blood? Have you ever donated blood? Well, the American Red Cross has put out a call for all of us to think about donating blood during the holiday, because during the holiday season, when they have the lowest, well, currently they have the lowest supply of blood during this holiday than they've had in many decades. And so the American Red Cross has put out a call for us to come and donate. And they're urging you to do it ahead of the, well, usually the push is for people to donate ahead of the holiday season, but it has fallen. So with this annual push to donate ahead of the holiday season, right now it's pretty lower than it has been in several decades. And so, of course, it's kind of an alarming situation for health people, because there's always a need for blood transfusions and what have you, to keep people who are facing surgeries and what have you, that's needed. So blood shortages mean that patients who are seriously injured may not be able to get a blood transfusion, and that can lead to some, and low blood supplies can also mean that a patient who really needs surgery right now, maybe they might need an organ transplant, and they may have to put that off to wait around for blood supplies to come in. So if we step up our donations, that will help. Now, last year, during the height of the pandemic, the donor's sense of urgency has not carried over. It was kind of, people responded last year, but in 2021, there was not as big a response. And so there are a number of reasons for the lower turnout for blood donations, but we want to see if we can change that. And so the Red Cross, of course, takes health precautions at their donation centers to ensure safety for people who agree to donate. So they're going to follow health protocol at the donation centers. Now, also, you can schedule an appointment online, and you can go to the, you know, the American Red Cross website and schedule an appointment. But, you know, the protocol will be followed: face masks, hand sanitizers, and you know, social distancing and whatnot. They're going to coordinate all of that. And guess what? They have a special need for people with O negative blood types. If your blood type, and there are several blood types, but if your blood type is O negative, they really want you. There's a big need for people with O negative blood types. Now, it only takes about 10 to 15 minutes for the actual blood donation part, but set aside an hour for the whole process, because there's a little screening, and then they do several other things leading up to you actually leaning back in your chair for the blood donation. The actual taking of the blood takes about 10 to 15 minutes, but a lot about an hour. Give yourself about an hour for the whole process, getting there and getting screened and, you know, having a few little words with processes and what have you. So set aside about an hour, but the actual taking of the blood takes about 10 to 15 minutes. Now, You got to be, your age is that you must be 16 years old or older. Anybody 16 and above, anybody 16 and above can donate. They expect you to be in good health, and you must weigh at least 110 pounds, at least. Now, individuals can donate every 56 days. If you donate, then you wait about another 56 days, and you can go back and donate again. So I know that there are people who repeatedly over periods of time do donate blood. And so you can return every 56 days to donate. Now, there are some incentives. There are some incentives. And for instance, if you do go through this, you can get an Amazon gift card, and you can also get socks and long sleeve shirts. Get some socks and long sleeve shirts, courtesy of the Red Cross. Now here's a phone number. Now there's a blood donor app if you want to use that, or you can go online to the American Red Cross. But here's a phone number: 1-800-733-2767. 1-800-733-2767. And so, you know, that's very worthwhile. That's very, very worthwhile. Okay, now here's one that's kind of intriguing to me. Let's see here. Okay, now this comes under the art and entertainment category, under the category of art and entertainment. This is I'm going to call it a play. I'm going to call it a play, but it's a Christmas classic. And the setting is in the heart of the Oak Cliff area of Dallas. And the play is called Carol. The play is called An Oak Cliff Carol, and it's called an urban ghost story. But you remember, what is that? The Scrooge, the story of Scrooge? And it had these various ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present. I forget all those other ghosts. But this is kind of the same scenario, but there's a social point to it. And Scrooge had a social point too. He was just didn't want to believe in Christmas and bah humbug, and you know, he was not a good person. But all of these ghosts came to him, and he was able to see the error of his ways. But this play is kind of based on that, and so it's called An Experience. An experience in a new Christmas classic that's set in the heart of Oak Cliff. And here's kind of what it's about. Okay, let's see here. All right, so this main character, her name is Alana Scrooge. That's her name, Alana Scrooge. She's the main character. Now, she has built a successful cosmetic empire, but guess what? She built it on the back of other people. Not good. Not good. You know, when you do something on the back of other people, that means you step on other people. You don't help lift them up. You put them down and step on them and boost yourself up. That's kind of what Scrooge did. Not kind. That is what Scrooge did in the original Scrooge story that we're so from, the classic Scrooge story. He was a terrible person. By humbug, he wasn't out for anybody but himself. So this character, Alana Scrooge, she's built a successful cosmetic empire on the back of other people, and she had to step on them in order to push herself up to the top. So one night, here's what happens. One night, three Oak Cliff spirits give Alana Scrooge a reality check, and they attempt to show her the error of her ways. So I'm thinking that they're going to present this play this year, and they may try to make it an annual event. But it's called A Holiday Classic. And so it's an Oak Cliff Carol, and it tells the familiar Charles Dickens story. There's a lot of entertainment in it. There's gospel music. There's soul music. There's R&B music. There's a lot of entertainment in it. And so it's the classic takeoff. It's a takeoff on the classic familiar story by Charles Dickens of Ebenezer Scrooge. And this play is adapted and directed by Giles R. King II. Okay? It is adapted and directed by Giles R. King II. Now let's see here. And you know what? You're going to have to go online to get the ticket information. If you go to Go Black Dallas, there's a space there where you can get ticket information. Now, I apologize for not bringing you that ticket information. But if you go to Go Black Business site, you can get ticket information about it, or you can just look up an Oak Cliff Carol, an urban ghost story set in the heart of Oak Cliff, and it's at the Urban Arts Center. It opens at the Urban Arts Center. But go online, and I apologize for not having the ticket information for you, but it's adapted and directed by Giles R. King II. Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, we're winding down to our time to say goodbye, but I did want to tell you about this event that's scheduled for, again, early next year. Now, this is during Black History Month in 2022 for St. Philip School and Community Center, but you can begin now to set this on your calendar. And it's their annual Destiny Awards luncheon. Guess who will be there this year? Shaq's going to be there. Shaquille O'Neal will be there at this Destiny Awards luncheon that will benefit St. Philip School and Community Center right there in the heart of South Dallas. And the luncheon, the Destiny Awards luncheon, will be Wednesday, February 23rd, 2022. And it's going to be at the Hyatt Regency Dallas. And it's going to feature the Parrish family. Now, we know the Parrish family, oh gosh, is such a wonderful giving family. They philanthropy. They just do just endless philanthropy that really largely benefits the African American community in Dallas, the Parrish family. Great philanthropic givers. But they will be featured at the luncheon. But Shaquille O'Neal will be the featured guest. Now, that's Wednesday, February 23rd, and it's in conjunction with the closing of St. Philip's 75th anniversary. Okay, and it's one of the largest fundraisers that benefits St. Philip's. And let's see, what else can I tell you? Of course, we know that Shaquille O'Neal, he's an NBA All-Star. Been that 15 times. Shaquille O'Neal, Shaq, he's been an NBA All-Star 15 times. He's also a three-time NBA finalist for the most valuable player. And he's an entrepreneur. I mean, we see him in all kind of business endeavors. I was in Office Depot this past summer, I think it was, and there he was, big poster had him there, and he was promoting some sort of fancy new printer ink. It would preserve your printer's ink. And there was Shaq advocating for this printer's ink advancement there in Office Depot. So Shaq is all over the place. And St. Phillips will also present an humanitarian award. And guess who's going to get that award? Here's the name of the award. St. Phillips will present the Mona and David Munson Humanitarian Award. Guess who's going to get it? Dr. Bobby Lyle. Dr. Bobby Lyle will receive the Mona and David Munson Humanitarian Award at the St. Phillips School and Community Center Destiny Awards Luncheon. You got time to get it, to get in on it, because it's during Black History Month, and it's on Wednesday, February 23rd. At Hyatt Regency Dallas. And of course the wonderful philanthropic Parrish family will be featured there. So get ready for that. So it's about time for us to get out of here. We've had, to me, a quite noteworthy, informative session today with Dr. J. Esther Davis telling us about the Missing Black Girls effort, and she's been a driving force behind it. So we cannot thank her enough for coming to tell us about that. So it's time for us to listen to Mr. Teddy Pendergrass. Who usually tells us, guess what does he tell us? To wake up, everybody. Let's see if I can find him. If I can't find him, I'll just tell you what he tells us. I'll just tell you what he tells us if I can't find him. But Teddy Pendergrass wants us to wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more sleeping in bed. No more backwards thinking. He tells us it's time to think ahead. Think I got him here. Yeah, he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us. Let's see. Come on, Teddy. What do you want us to do? Teddy Pendergrass, and he gets help from Harold Melvin and his Blue Notes. He can wake up everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Come on, Teddy. Tell us what to do. No more back to thinking. Time to take your head.
World's changed so fast.
World is tiny.
What it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Hey.
Wake up. up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Have to say.